Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO, above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed, go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the joint.
To the Crab Feast, y'all.
Tuesday.
Another Tuesday.
What day is it, son?
Another Crab Feast with that ass.
Come on, man.
It was like a grand finale going off during the fireworks. And I got to tell you, went right on into that pitch touch. I was like sliding my feet into my old comfortable pair of slippers right there. That felt good.
You got nice slippers, huh?
I got some therm. What are they called?
When you're wearing your night pants?
My Tempur-Pedics, man. My night pants. Fuck yeah, man. I watched, I caught Deion Sanders on set. I was watching it, but I caught him on set come around from behind the thing. And he's got his Tempur-Pedics on with one of his suits. That's what he's wearing on set. Because you can't see it. He's comfortable as shit up there.
Neon Deion, son.
Good to see you, Jay Larson Comedy.
Good to be here with you, Sickle Cell. Jay Larson here, jlarsoncomedy.com, Jay Larson Comedy, and all social media. Only dates I'm plugging right now are Crab Feast tour dates, and we are heading out on the road. Sickle Cell, tell them.
Ryan Sickler on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, ryansickler.com. And just before we hit the road, this weekend, Saturday, September 24th, we have a live Crab Feast podcast at LA Podfest, which is going on all weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Live Crab Feast podcast from 7 to 9 with Joseph Fink and Jeffrey Cranor. I hope I'm saying that right. If I'm not, I apologize, Jeff. Of Welcome to Night Vale. They're our guests.
Hugely popular podcast.
Oh, man. I'm so stoked for this. These guys, the imaginations they have. Hell, I don't even care if their stories aren't real. I'd like to hear some from the town. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
There will be a live stream. Live stream in every room. All podcasts will be on the website for 30 days. And the price for the entire weekend is $25. But you know that Jay Larson discount gets you that five off, man.
Come on,
go to lapodfest.com to purchase the live stream. Enter our promo code CRABFEAST for the discount. Go do it. Seriously. $20 for
chance to
30
be a part
days
of
content?
That's it.
Come on. And then the Crab Feast Fall Tour kicks off. October 18th, San Francisco Punchline. San Francisco, come out. It's one night.
Get your friends. Come on out.
I came up there last time, and you guys packed the place out. So I hope to see you come out and give Jay Larson the same love. Sacramento Punchline on October 19th. The next night, San Francisco, Sacramento. One-nighters. These are all one-night. Sacramento, a lot of feasters came out when I was up there for a weekend last summer. So come on out one night, hang out with us. Let's have some fun. October 21st, the Windy City, Chicago.
Chicago.
Windy. Just added a second show. Those tickets are going fast for the first show, so you might want to start snagging up the second show. October 22nd, very excited to be back in St. Louis. That's going to be a fun time. That's going to be a fun
time. I can't
wait. Yeah, St. Louis. I'm telling you, this was a great show and a great venue. So November 5th, my first time, Asheville, North Carolina.
My first
Very
time.
Excited to come down to Asheville, North Carolina on November 5th. And then we go up to Jay Larson's neck of the woods on November 6th.
Laugh Boston. Get out for that. And then on the 8th, we're going to be New York City at Caroline's on Broadway.
That's right. All you New York feasters, come out, hang out with us. It's election day, so, you know.
Get your ballots in.
Get in early.
Come on. We're telling you now.
Telling you now. One night only. November 9th.
Philadelphia Helium Comedy Club.
Very excited to go to Philadelphia and do some stand-up. November 10th, the nation's capital, Draft House Comedy in Washington.
Dessa.
And then November 11th, 11-11.
The armpit of the U.S., baby!
Coming out! Baltimore, Maryland. And we are very close to adding a Denver show right now. We're working, talking to a venue right now, and we're going to hopefully lock that down for a November date as well. Tickets for all shows are available on RyanSickler.com and TheCrabFeast.com.
Make a night of it. Call your friends. Get your people together. If your dad needs a laugh, your mom needs a laugh, your cousin, bring people out. Let them know what it is when you're going around being like, "Hey, hey, player!" When they're like, "When is that?" He's always saying, "You know what I mean?"
Tourette's.
Exactly. So get out there. Get everybody out. Let's make it a tour to remember.
I can't wait to come out on stage to hear the "Hey, hey, players" and the "Fuck the Crab Feast" and the Tuesdays. I mean,
I hope the fans.
We get a lot of it now, but we've not been to most of these cities.
You know, when like a guy hits a home run, like in his rookie season, they just like no one even congratulates him. I hope that's what they do.
They act like they throw the ball out up into the fucking thing.
They just don't do anything.
If you guys all got together, just folded your arms and sat in silence for an hour, you know we'd appreciate you. Merch is back. You guys are tearing it up. We just restocked. So we'll be, there's plenty of stuff coming for you. Amazon link, always thank you for using that. Bridgetown Premium App is going through, what it's got, the process right now. So it
process.
Should be up. I hope it's a week.
Process.
Process, my bad. Facebook fan page, follow us there to, keep up with all the tour info, and, iTunes page.
Great sponsor this week, Indochino Custom Menswear. Guys, they're doing it right. Talk about the best quality you can get in a men's suit. If you need a suit, you don't just have a suit
Everybody
for a year.
A
you have a suit for
That's
like
right.
10 years.
It's like luggage.
This is time to get it. They have a personal experience with Indochino. It's fitted. Okay, it's one of the largest made-to-measure menswear brands. There's a big difference between buying something off the rack and then just getting a fitted shirt, fitted suit, and that's what they do.
That's what I say. You don't want to look like Frankenstein.
That's what I'm saying, Sickle Cell. They make it easy for men to get great-fitting, high-quality suits and shirts at an incredible price. This is how it works. Visit Indochino.com or drop by one of their 9 North American showrooms. That's brick and mortar. Pick from hundreds of fabrics and patterns. Choose your customizations from lapels to pleats, jacket linings, and more. Submit your body measurements, kick back, relax, and get ready to step into the best, most stylish suit you've ever worn. Or the first one you've ever worn in just 4 weeks. This is how we do it. Our listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $389 at Indochino.com when entering the code CRAB, C-R-A-B, at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. That is an amazing deal if you've ever had to buy a suit.
Yeah, getting that at a competitor. You're not even getting that at one of the like warehouse places or anything.
Come on.
Nothing.
Plus, shipping is free, and your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back.
There
Indochino.com, promo code CRAB, CRB, for any premium suit for just $389 and free shipping. You'll never have to worry about badly fitting suits or expensive trips to the tailor again. Go get it. And we're going to go get this episode this week. Proud to have him on the podcast. Haven't had him on before. Great guy, ladies and gentlemen. First time on the CRAB Feast. Please give a warm welcome for Mr. Chris Fairbanks. Welcome
Chris
Fairbanks
to the CRAB Feast.
Yeah. Oh, I'm clapping for
you
myself.
You should clap for yourself. Sounds better, too, on the recording, man.
Good to have you here, man.
It is great to have
thanks.
You here,
Wait,
man.
Was CRAB Feast ever Voltron?
Yeah, way back when started. That's
See,
what we call
go,
a classic CRAB Feast.
Yeah, I have great podcast memory.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Anyway, it's better now.
Short-term horrible podcast, unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
Undeniable.
I can't remember what we're talking about right now.
But I know the first guy ever made a podcast.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
I'm just kidding. That was supposed to be you.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah. What was that? Jimmy Pardo, maybe?
Fardo was early.
Yeah, he was early on.
Well, it's great to have you here. And before we jump into things, why don't you tell everybody anything you'd like them to know about you, your social media, your podcast, and then you can give your Hey Hey Play a shout out of the week.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, right now I'll just give you all my info, and then after a while they can decide whether or not to look it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm at Chris Fairbanks on the Twitter. I'm at Chris _ Fairbanks on Instagram. That's
Whoa,
important.
Who's the regular dude on Instagram?
I don't know. Some guy that fixes cars or something.
And he didn't go for Twitter, though.
No. There's a lot of Chris Fairbankses. One guy's a bodybuilder, champion bodybuilder. Another guy's a fireman. That did some stuff on 9/11, and you can Google him and find him. And then there's a Chris Fairbanks that's an actor in L.A. who actually, when I moved here, he's like, "We got a problem. We have IMDb.
we're gonna
figure this out." And he goes by Christopher, and I go by Chris. That's what.
And you're like, "Listen, man, that's not our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is this freaking weightlifter, dude.
Yeah,
all
yeah,
over
this
the
guy's
place.
Crushing
coming
right
up
now.
On him, man.
He's winning,
him
clean and jerk."
So I wanted, it'd be great. I wanted to pitch a reality show called The Chris Fairbanks Show, where I just live with these other Chris Fairbankses. We have
that's
nothing
great
in common.
Didn't someone do a documentary where they go to every town and they look up their name in the phone book and then they call the person, they go meet them or something like that?
Every idea I have has already happened. No, that's a great idea for a documentary.
Whenever I would fly places, I would always go back to the phone booth at the airport, and I'd always look up Sicklers. Not necessarily looking for my name, just how thick it was in that section of the wherever you went.
Yeah, just.
But I love the Chris Fairbanks Show. That's a fucking great idea.
Yeah, I pitched it. I pitched it to Three Ball. They made The Biggest Loser and all that stuff. Yeah, they weren't biting. They're like, "Well, one of you has to be famous."
That's exactly.
I'm
they're
just
like,
saying,
"Well,
what?
Nobody knows this Chris Fairbanks.
All
they
these
damn
Chris,
sure don't know about."
All these Chris Fairbankses are very famous. The fireman just auctioned off. He was a celebrity auctioneer at this tractor auction. Tell me that's not famous.
That's famous somewhere. Famous.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, we got a special guest for you today, Chris Fairbanks. Hey,
get your ass in here on the Chris Fairbanks.
he's literally still waiting for him.
Oh, that'd be
two
great
guys roll in.
Yeah, he's like seven.
Not you, the other Chris Fairbanks.
The other Chris Fairbanks looks like a Bull from Night Court.
God, I remember Bull from Night Court.
Yeah.
I remember Night Court.
Yeah. Night Court was a great show.
It was
a great show.
Yeah.
So do you want to plug away there?
It's an unlikely gig for a magician. What was his name? Harry Anderson?
Yeah,
Let's plug Harry Anderson. No, I want to plug my friend.
Give your Hey Hey Play a shout.
Lance Lando Hughes from Missoula, Montana. His Twitter is Roll for Damage, @ Roll for Damage. Let me.
Like R-O-L-L?
Yeah, it's.
F-O-R?
I think we know it's probably something to do with Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh,
I
is
want
it?
To make sure.
I was thinking it was more auto body work.
I thought it was like a dive and roll.
if you want to talk, Roll for Damage, Lando Hughes, if you want to talk to him about gaming or being a father or just being a hilarious.
Well, tell
loud 7 foot tall friend
of
mine.
He's 7 feet, huh?
He not quite. He's 6'6", maybe. He's a big dude.
Yeah,
and he's basically the glue that keeps all my friends. Like when I visit home, he's like, "Everyone, we're going out tonight. Chris is in town. All 15 of us are doing this," and they're like, "All right." And everyone, he like makes everyone.
That's tight.
Come out because, you know, everybody's got kids and obligations now.
Yeah.
It's less likely that they're all going to show up at the airport like they used to 10 years ago. So he now.
And Missoula. I mean, I've been to Missoula. I'm pretty sure it was the first place I know it was the first place I ever been, but I'm just not sure if it's the only place where I came to a four-way stop with no stop. There were no stop signs. It was a four-way intersection with not one stop sign.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Sure.
They're basically like, "Yeah, we'll just all figure it out." You know what I mean? It's so chill here.
Well, like in neighborhoods, sure. Yeah. It's like...
No, this was like kind of off downtown.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I can think of those intersections. Sure. You just look to the right, and if that person's closer, you let them
that
go.
That sounds like a Excuse Montana me. Guy.
Yeah,
you know? Whereas I'd be like, "Who the fuck's this guy? I'm going."
Punching it to get there quicker.
Yeah, seriously.
You can see him over here coming.
Well, yeah, I have
a little dust rooster feather by or tail behind you.
I have to adjust every time I go home because everyone drives so slow and cautiously. And if you leap into the street, everyone stops. They're like, oh, look at this guy jaywalking. It's not even, you wouldn't get a ticket for it even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I drove from Seattle to Montana, and it's gorgeous there. Like, we saw Rams.
Yeah.
You know LA Rams? Like, didn't see much of them fucking other night. No, man, I couldn't believe, like, on the hillside, I'm just like, God damn. You know what I mean? That's not shit see every day. Yeah. You don't see that every day.
And they are amazing. They're like little tiny hooves, and they'll be on the side of a cliff.
Yes.
And they aren't stressed out about it.
Nothing.
They're just confident.
They're waiting for somebody to take that picture and make a poster.
Yeah, yeah.
Some kind of encouragement poster.
Yeah, they all just want to be in an Ansel Adams calendar. Seriously, dude. Like, how do I look from this angle? I really have no choice. I can't, like, turn around on this ledge.
So you're born in Montana, from Montana?
No, I was born in the Bay Area, Carmel, but we moved there when I was little.
That's Clint Eastwood used to be the...
Yeah, yeah. Actually,
Mayor?
My dad was a radio guy, and Clint Eastwood sat and watched him do radio because he was doing that movie Play Misty for Me, where he played a radio DJ.
That's really? That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a Fatal Attraction type.
Yeah, movie, I remember. Where,
yeah, yeah, and... But he said he watched the movie, and Clint ignored all his tips. Yeah, man.
I
used to like Clint Eastwood, man.
Son of a bitch. Look how he's clicking on the on switch. Wait a minute. How many days did he go in and watch your dad?
I don't know. Yeah, he watched a few guys that work where he works. I think maybe just for an afternoon, but he met him because of that.
What kind of radio did your dad do? Like morning drive,
talk and music and top 10 lists and
did he
stories.
Have a name? Did He'd he have a DJ the, name back then?
Look at the nah, just Jim Fairbanks.
Yeah, just Jim Fairbanks.
Yeah, that's a great radio name. That's Jim Fairbanks. Welcome to the morning drive.
Then he had a damn kid and he drove around, tried to find new radio jobs, gave in, and moved to back to Montana, where he's from.
To do what?
Work for the government, appraise property.
Wait a minute, are you the kid?
Yeah, I'm one of the kids.
I know you're one of them.
How many are you?
No, yeah, my sister and I. But I think it's like, you know, that's. I wonder if I would be doing stand up. You already had a career by the time, you had kids. But it's it'd be hard to like still be getting into a career and then have kids and not decide.
Well, trust me, I'm still trying. I mean, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still a grind.
I commend you. Yeah, I can only imagine. I had a cat and it used to stress me out. I just send the cat to my dad's.
And, shut up, dude.
Yeah, it immediately died of AIDS. I mean, that sounds like a joke, but the cat had feline AIDS.
It did? It really
well, the
died.
Fly with the cat, sure. You got to get a blood test, and they're like, hey, your cat has AIDS. And I'm like, what? I'm bringing a... And they're like, no, he'll be fine. You're dead. So my dad had to give him shots and medicine.
Your dad was like, why are you sending me a dying cat?
Yeah, thanks for the AIDS cat. Right. He wasn't dying at the time. He started
Listen,
to
Listen, Daddy's
die.
HIV. We don't know if it's going to turn...
I'm not positive.
Just don't fuck him.
And neither is he. I mean, can... It's got to be the worst question ever, but can you get anything from a cat that has feline AIDS?
That's the first thing I said. When I brought the cat there, I'm like, I'm flying with this cat tomorrow. I want to sedate the cat, but I heard they can have heart attacks. And they're like, yeah, you have to test the blood, make sure they are able to be sedated.
It.
Some cats... just die. And so she said, yeah, he's fine. He's strong. He's a healthy cat. He does have AIDS, but he's and I'm like, wait, hold on. And I immediately thought of all the fleas. Because when I live with Tig, she just started feeding this cat on the porch. And I'm like, if you feed that cat, we have a cat.
Yeah.
He's not just going to go to the next house. And sure enough, he was in my room. But still, like, got a fogged over eye and, like, bugs and shit on him, missing patches of hair.
Oh.
So I had his fleas.
Street
would
cat.
Get, yeah, total street cat that hung out with possums. Like, he was a rough.
He was
playing cards with him.
Share his dish. Yeah, there's, like, that velvet dog poker painting. That's him and possums. And I had bites all over my ankles. So I'm like, bugs have left this AIDS cat and burrowed, I know, into
in
my
your
bloodstream. Can't and she said, "Oh, you can't get AIDS from a cat." What and
did she get in your face about
AIDS
it like that?
She kind of made fun
feline
of
feline AIDS is not our AIDS either.
Well, it could
be our cancer
or something. Yeah.
It could, sure, that
right.
could be. Yeah, but that's
got
why
got polio. From
yeah.
So
maybe I'll get AIDS, but I start you know
I got rickets.
Yeah, or coughing up hair.
Yeah,
it's some weird version. Yeah, and then I mentioned it. to this lady. On, I was getting on the plane with the cat.
You motherfuckers have put me in first class today, and this whole plane's getting AIDS.
Dude, I mentioned the cat had AIDS, and I guess every I was like, AIDS cat coming
that's
aboard.
Just a buzzword.
I said this lady, I told her, and I made a joke to her, but the whole plane heard me say, AIDS cat coming aboard. And then
you said it.
Yeah, yeah, and they're all like, "Oh, duly noted." And then on during the flight, the cat's losing his mind.
Really?
Yeah.
How long is that flight?
His eyes were rolling back and his tongue was out. I'm like, "He's dying. He's having a stroke or a heart attack." So I unzipped the carry-on thing and let him just walk around while we were flying. I'm like, "What are they going to land?" You know, I was worried about the cat. And then I heard a lady in back go, "Oh, don't pet that cat. He has AIDS." Like, she thought, everyone thinks you can get AIDS from a cat. Like, it's I'm not the only idiot, so I don't know why this.
Well, I mean, AIDS came from monkeys, so it's like,
listen,
you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't pet it either.
No, AIDS came from basketball in the 80s.
That's right. I wouldn't pet the damn cat either, on a plane especially. I wouldn't pet a dog or anything on a plane.
Especially a stray.
Just one, I mean.
Stray on a plane.
Listen, that thing's not just on your seat, and I'm sitting next to you petting it. That thing's missing hair. It's got an eye patch, and it's rolling around.
Yeah.
Smoking butts.
Looking for possums.
At this point in his life, he had cleaned up. He looked pretty good. Right. He's pretty healthy. He had all his hair. Both eyes came in nicely.
You guys did him right?
Yeah, and he would go up. He was going up to people and not meowing. He used to hiss. But,
so that saved his life to let him walk around?
I don't know, but he was calm after that and then just came back and got back in the thing. So I knew he wouldn't. It's a cat where if I was like, hey, come here, he'd come back. Most cats are like dicks about it.
Yeah. How long after your dad got him did he die?
About a year. Okay. He started going blind, and I'm like, oh, this isn't good. And then, it's that damn AIDS. Sorry, I really do feel bad for bringing my dad an AIDS cat. I thought he'd be, you know, retire in his backyard with baby deer, and he's just got AIDS.
Hanging out with rams and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
Running with the rams.
It's that crossbreed cat fucking crossbreed.
Well, maybe it was a little bit of payback for the stuff they used to do to you when you were a kid.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. Take that, dad, for being a perfect dad.
Was he a great dad?
Yeah, he was a pretty good dad.
What's the story about walking you to school?
Oh, yeah. That was more my mom. They were just, it's a small town, and you've been there. There's rarely even a light.
I mean, Missoula is a big town as far as Montana goes.
Sure.
But it's like, as far as anything else goes, it's tiny.
It's like 60,000, but there's cars going through, and you don't want to get hit. So they dressed me up. I would walk to school. My mom made me a hunter's orange, like a safety orange vest. And on the back.
Wait, she made it?
It the vest was, I think, purchased maybe at a gun safety course or something. It's like a hunting vest. And then on the back, she, with reflective tape, made like a stop sign.
No,
like
she did
an octagon with the word stop on it on my back. So if a car's coming at me, I guess she thought I would just zip around and show my back. Point at my back.
He's slowing down. Turn around. Chris, turn around.
What's it say? I don't know. We better slow down. Oh, it
says
stop.
There's not even a stop sign at the intersection, but there's one
on
back.
His back.
And in my hand, my dad made me a stop sign flag on a stick, like a big a broomstick, like a giant flag flapping. And
hold on a second. Where do they? Who do these two think they are that they can just start giving people traffic signals to walk around with?
I know. Yeah, exactly.
Why don't they just give you a detour sign? Can't come this
go
way.
Around.
Yeah, yeah. Just,
go around.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I think they knew I wouldn't abuse my power.
That's crazy.
It was just so when I got to school, I could walk safely until right at the school. There's a busy street there that did have lights. But there was a crossing guard working across the street.
Crossing guard,
like, this motherfucker trying to take my job.
That's what I'm
yeah,
saying.
Exactly. Yeah, we'd have
my thumb.
Nice vest, though, man.
yeah, we talk a
nice
little.
Nice vest, player. Yeah. Next day, he's got stop on his back.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, he's just taking style tips. No, it was awkward. It's like we had this awkward standoff to see if I could cross myself. I'd like jump into the street because I wanted it to be worth my time wearing this thing. So I'd try and cross myself before they could get out of their lawn chair.
Got a flag, you said, for
yeah.
real.
Where was your mom from?
White gloves, man.
They're both White from Missoula. Yeah.
And then they moved to San Francisco together?
Bay Area, yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And then back.
Yeah. Yeah, and then back as soon as
So they, I mean, but it's so safe there, they weren't thinking, oh, like, he'll be fine. They were more cautious of, like, or do you become more cautious because it's so chill?
It's safe in that we don't have gangs or whatever, but everyone knows that anytime Montana is on the news, I just cover my face because it's going to be some guy eating children or holding, you know, the Unabomber, stuff like that. It's always weird. And there's weirdos. And when I was a kid, they'd make an announcement every month. There was a new, it was always a white van, but it's like people are out there snatching up kids and you got to be on the lookout. And that's what I was scared of. So I'm wearing this stop. I think I thought sort of that the stop sign and everything were for kidnappers. Like, I thought it was keeping me safe in that way.
Yeah, I was going to get that kid, but the stop sign, I was like, man.
That flag, man.
Yeah. Too close.
He's telling me not to. No, I'm just waving it around seductively. I dare you to stop thinking what you're thinking.
But I think it's funny the way you talk about Montana. I feel like people, like, kind of like the way Brant Tolbert talks about Wyoming is, like, you talk about it like it's my town that I grew up in. You're talking about the whole state. You know what I mean? Like, anytime Montana's on the news.
Right.
Right.
You know what I mean? If Massachusetts is on the news, I'm like, oh, what's going on? Like, I don't think of it like, what's Massachusetts doing? I'm just like, oh, what's up with Mass, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm always rooting for Missoula. Missoula's the cool liberal arts college town. It's not, it's different from the rest of Montana. It's the Austin of Montana, sort of, in my mind. Because you go to the rest of Montana and it's like, oh, yeah, people are fist fighting.
Billings is the other place I've been.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I went for that Big Sky Comedy Fest thing, mm-hmm. and it was like early 90s Missoula. Like, we went to this after party at a bar, and it was just multiple fist fights
really?
At once. Just big, dumb, cross-eyed cowboys punching each other, and all these L.A. comics just horrified. And I was like, oh, home.
Home.
Yeah, home. Yeah. I went to, I was in Billings. I was also in Whitefish.
Yeah, Whitefish is really pretty. That's kind of like Missoula.
That was a redneck bar with the owner's son-in-law's band. They were terrible, but everybody kept going, it's his son-in-law, man. And he was terrible. And on so the wall behind him and then the two that came up on the flanks here on these sides were all, the whole wall from ceiling to floor was glass. And behind it was every kind of animal that they had killed and stuffed. I mean, bears. Ram, yak, whatever the fuck it was.
AIDS cat,
right over there.
That one just kind of came to us. Yeah. No, that's the airport.
All in there.
The airport, if you did fly there.
No, we drove. That's what I'm saying.
That's like a Yoder tribbled something early on.
No, it was just family. We drove from Seattle to see more people in Montana. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the airport in Missoula has a giant encased in glass grizzly bear. That's like the first thing you see when you get off the plane. You have to like be ready for it. You'll be like, oh God. Oh, the TSA here.
I was there because I was doing a triple run. That's why I was there. And then I remember like I stayed with my friends mm-hmm. and they like we went out walking the dogs like on a frozen lake with like fishing huts everywhere, and then we drove to this bar that I'm talking in the middle of nowhere, and it was just like chili, like happy hour with chili, great jukebox, pool, and beer, and I was like, this is heaven.
Yeah,
this was
yeah.
Like, yeah, I loved
it was
it
so amazing. Just people, snow, like so packed in. It was awesome.
It's already snowing up there.
It's when that's the only choice, though, growing up, you just want, my whole life, I just wanted to live right where I am now by the beach.
Yeah, well, you're such a beach cat, too. You're a skater. And
it's, you'd think, but I when I go home, I'm like, it is the best to be in the Rocky Mountains and snow. I love snow. I love driving in the snow.
Yeah, man. I love weather. That's what we were saying earlier because it was cloudy today. And I was like, man, I miss weather.
Everyone here does. Seasons help benchmark the passing of time. It's like, oh, it's fall. Boy, this is a long winter. Here, we all, every year, I'm like, oh, it's my birthday again. God, I'm getting old. I think life is like that in general. But
I have kids. They'll benchmark the passing of time.
Yeah, yeah. I got to, you're right. I got to.
What were you guys doing in high school? Like, because were you guys, like, I imagine in Montana, you just get into shit.
Yeah, it's different now. It's like here now, you drive around downtown where everyone just aimlessly used to cruise the drag. It was just cowboys listening to NWA and giant trucks. Just white kids with either Raiders hats or cowboy hats driving around in their truck wearing batting gloves. looking for fights. That's all like early 90s was. And we would skate downtown and get in fights all the time with scary older cowboys. It was, and it's not that way anymore at all. Like, there's no one. Yeah, like you go downtown, there's no one. They're like, oh, you can't drive around at night. Are you crazy? We're about to get Uber, though, so that'll... It's like they're not... Yeah, it's just kids with tight pants on fixed gear bikes, just like anywhere else. I think it's good. Yeah, I don't think...
I think that's everywhere. I think, like, the whole... You forget, like, you think just hipsters are here in, like, Los Feliz, Silver Lake, or, like, Brooklyn, mm-hmm. and then you go to, like, other small towns, like, oh, wait a minute. Like, and even Atlanta, you were just there. I remember being in Atlanta. I'm like, oh, it's just the same kids. It's just, like, that's the generation, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Or the same type of kids that used to be bullied and didn't come out of the fucking house, and now they're not bullied and they're out there.
Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, it's...
But that's what I'm saying. Those kids are now all...
Yeah,
that's everywhere. What they do. They do this yeah. thing.
In Atlanta, it was even more stark. Like, I really noticed. Not that I'm from there, but I did expect maybe a few black people, and there was no more... They're, like, being forced out. It's like, was hipster...
Yeah, where were you?
Because
I was in Atlanta walking around, and there was yeah. so many black people. I was like, I never felt more comfortable in my life.
I guess I was in a part that I was told by my friends there that there should be and always were black people in this area, and then it had become a totally Los Feliz type area.
White Atlanta.
Yeah, they're making new, you know, it's just only high-end, upper-class apartments and condos that they're building. They're not even building middle-class stuff. It's yeah. just like pushing people out. I think every city's doing that. I have mixed feelings about it.
Yeah, of course.
Because, cool, maybe I can live there now. But also it's like, oh, that really sucks. Where are these other people?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm split 50-50.
So when did you leave Montana, and why did you leave Montana? Was it for comedy?
Yeah, I had a improv group, like we did the short games, freeze tag and all that improv. Come on. We all love it. the games. In college, I was in some group, and we did little tours around Idaho and Montana and Washington.
This wasn't improv sports, or what was that?
No, I didn't know what improv was. I was at a party, and I was trying on this girl's clothes and dancing around being a drunk, and I broke a lamp or something. And then the next, she kicked us all out, me and all my friends. And a couple of days later in the paper, there was like, hey guy, it was like a personal ad, you know,
because
there was no social media back then. It's like 98. She's like, you were at my party and I kicked you out, but you're funny. Do you want to start an improv group? And so
and you saw it in the paper?
I didn't know what that meant.
It was a blind throw out there like that?
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Oh, it was all, everyone used to check. Man. Yeah, yeah. There was one, hey, do you have leopard spots dyed in your hair? I want a date. And I'm like, I have leopard spots in my hair, but I was too scared. My mom told me I should call, but I was like, it's going to be a loose lady. So she just told me, oh no, it's like, whose line is it anyway? And I'm like, oh, that, yeah, I can do that. That's kind of how I started in comedy. It's because of Eva Gilliam is her name. She teaches improv in South Africa now, but yeah, that's how we started. And then one of the girls that joined our group, we started dating, and then she was moving to Austin to teach at UT. And I went with her, and that's where I started. They have, like, Austin's a great town to start yeah. doing stand-up, so I kind of did improv there for a while and then started doing stand-up.
How long did you live there?
About 4.5 years.
Oh, okay.
And then her and I moved here from there, and lasted here about a year, and then broke up pretty amicably. Like, it's like, this isn't, we're like best friends.
Of course
friends.
It's going to be amicable, because the breakup's going to be all yes and.
Yes and the whole time.
Right. I think we should break up. You know, I think you're right. And you know what? I think I should take this over. Yeah. Well, that's great. And I think...
we're just playing by the rules of improv. I wasn't going to know but her.
Yeah, totally. 2 weeks later, you're like, I miss her.
I'm tired of this long form Harold. but yeah, we, you know, split up all our stuff. And she started going on dates with people. I was still living there, and she was like, I think going on dates. Like, we were trying to...
You're like, listen, I said it'd be amicable. This is intense.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah.
Flip so bringing coins. People back or just going out on
Oh,
things?
No. Okay. No, she would never do that. Yeah.
In the bed with the three of them, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, this is getting ridiculous.
Yes,
I am. I know we're just roommates now. Okay, I'll hold his balls. Like, as she's...
Were you in a different room?
No, I was on the couch. It was just for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And then I moved in with Tig, who was just getting out of a thing. So it worked out, but we split up everything. I had to leave town to go feature on the road. And so we very quickly split everything up, clothes, and we wore some of the same clothes. She's tall. She's tall. And so
we had the same crossing guard off and the same, you know, different.
Yeah, yeah. And then she started seeing that this guy, he was on Saturday Night Live for a while, Bill Hader. She started dating him before any of this was happening. We had both made tapes to be on SNL, and mine wasn't very good. I saw his performance at like M Bar, and I'm like, well, they should hire that guy and not me because he just does impressions, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Schwarzenegger and Pacino, but still very good at them. And then he did get the gig, and they started dating. And he's really nice. So I saw him once, and he's like, hey.
Thanks for the wife.
Yeah, exactly. It's like she had a good time. It was, you know. She said, only says nice things about
he's like,
you.
Hey, like, thanks for teaching her that whole ball cup.
Yeah, yeah, that really comes in handy. Literally. Yeah, yeah, he was nice. But watching him on SNL, that was cool too. I'm like, he's nice. Look at him doing a good job. And then at the end, when they're like, thanks for watching Saturday Night Live. Good night. The whole cast is standing there. Mm-hmm. He was wearing one of my shirts. Like he's wearing.
Well, technically, it was her shirt.
Yeah, it was technically her shirt. I just wore it for 7 years, yeah. But he was filling it out a little better and everything. I wasn't jealous. Not jealous of them or they're. You know, they're happy and have kids and stuff. Now it's just weird to watch an article of your clothing kind of trump your career. Your own clothes, you know.
T-shirt oh, there's better credit.
Well, at least my shirt made it on Saturday Night Live. Wow. It's the only way that could have happened other than me getting the job.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, second best thing.
How long ago was that?
I just want my clothes on TV. Oh, that was a long time ago, yeah. They have they've probably have kids going around. They're in high school or something. I don't know. Nah, that was 2004.
I honestly think an amicable breakup is like one of the greatest things in the world. Like, mm-hmm. I always used to think, because I've had not a lot of breakups, but all my breakups, I think they're amicable. You know what I mean? But someone's always getting hurt. But I always wanted to be the guy that could have the breakup where like I have like a wife and they have a husband and we're still all friends and we all hang out and shit. And they're like, I can't believe you guys just date. I'm like, yeah, no, crazy, right? I mean, I don't have that, but I always thought it was a cool dynamic.
Yeah, it is a cool. And I've been around it. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going over to my ex's. Her husband just got a promotion. And I'm making chili. It's like, what? And then you're there, and it's I'm uncomfortable. I'm the only one that's uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
It's like, he used to have sex with your wife, my friend. Isn't that weird for you? Just the weird guy in the kitchen that says that. But I don't. Yeah. Yeah, I've had breakups that were less amicable. I've had terrible breakups that ended up in punching and me getting punched. I don't punch.
Yeah, no.
Just taking it.
Yeah, you wouldn't need to even say that. I get that. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Cowboy got out of a truck, man.
Yeah.
Hit me upside head with back gloves. Yeah.
Maybe he wouldn't call it a relationship, but I would.
He's hitting 262 in softball, but 1,000 on my face.
Yeah, batting. You know what I'm talking about, batting.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's easier to punch people. Yeah, me and all my friends used to have pepper spray. My mom gave me pepper spray, and she's like, if those guys bother you again, just spray them in the face and punch them holding this while spraying them. My mom was like,
damn.
First things first, put up the yield sign. If they don't,
they don't yield to the yield.
It was the same
wave
part of
your
her
flag.
Same part of her brain. Yeah. It's
like, snap that stick over your knee.
Just spray them in the face
and, beat the
shit and punch
up.
Them in. When you punch them, make sure it's in the nose or in the, you make it matter. Around the time, MySpace, I met some girl
Through MySpace?
Yeah.
Or around the time of MySpace?
It was during the heyday of MySpace. Sure. Pre-top eight. It was just when you had top four friends. That era.
That's hilarious.
Before you could add.
Before arguments started. Yeah. And friendships ended.
Yeah. And some beautiful young girl was like, hi, I want to meet you. And I'm like, that's, even then I thought I was being, catfished. Yeah, I did. But this girl, I met this girl and drove all the way down to like San Juan Capistrano, and she was this beautiful
to see the birds coming in
young girl. Yeah. And I'm like, do you have a boyfriend? Because on her MySpace there's some dude that had like a tap out shirt, and I'm like, I don't, that
guy, who's this, Chris Fairbanks?
She's like, no, we broke up. Yeah we and so I met her down there. It was great. And then she came to Venice, and we soberly during the day got matching tattoos.
How long into this?
It's good. Oh, the second date?
Yeah. Sober, you said.
It's covered with a Band-Aid now, but it's like a less than three, because she sent that on MySpace. Now we all know that's a heart. But sure. Yeah, back then I was like, is that...
you got a less than
three. Looks like an ass.
I thought it was at least a six.
Yeah. It just looked like an ass with sideways ass with a birthday hat coming or something. I don't know. I didn't know what it was. Sorry, I'm having a heart attack. It's the LaCroix bubbles.
There you go.
Anyway, so...
So wait, you guys, whose idea? I'm going to guess
she
it was her.
She dared me. Yeah, she's like, I dare you. And I'm like, on my ankle? Okay. I wear socks. People make fun of me. I get pointed at and laughed at in Hawaii for wearing socks at every waking moment. Even when I'm surfing. But I do wear socks a lot. And so I knew that I could cover whatever it was. And I'm like, yeah, I'll get a heart on my ankle, sure. And I was being dumb also.
And yeah. She was probably super hot, right?
She's very pretty. Still a pretty person. But she left. She went home. The next day, I can't remember. It was either Tig or it was David Huntsberger, my roommate. Some guy knocked on the door, and I was getting dressed. It was the morning, and I had no shirt on. I was just putting on my pants. And some kid comes in. It's like 20-year-old big dude, got right in my face in my bedroom. And I was like, who are you? He said, I came here to kick your ass. And I was like, and I had a coffee mug. I'm like, maybe I can hit him but he was a big veiny kid. And I was, I just started talking to him like his dad or something. I'm like, do you realize how much trouble you could get in for? You're in my home.
Pressing
kid.
Charge.
You're in my home. This is great. Is this about what's her name? Do you know her? And he said, yeah. I mean, we've broken up. And I'm like, well, then why are you here? That's crazy. And then he started giving me...
Have a seat. Let me talk to you.
Damn right he sat
Let
down.
Me make
he was like,
Jake.
He was like, just know that she's very manipulative. If you start dating her, you're in for a world of like, she really hurt. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, man. I even had my hand on his shoulder for a
He's
minute.
He's like, look at this tattoo I got on my ankle.
That's how he found me. On her phone, he looked at her phone while she was showering. On the phone, it was me sending her my address and then a picture of our matching tattoos.
Oh, my God.
So that back to, he's like, there's my address. I'm driving there right now. He drove from almost San Diego to my house in the morning he's like, why's your room all messy? I thought you were like a Mr. TV because I was on like Fuel TV at the time and he knew. He was like in that world because we had MMA fighters on. Dudes he fought were on our show. Like he was into fighting.
Oh my God.
And totally would have killed me. But he's like, yeah, your room's messy. I was like, oh, sorry. If I'd known you were coming here to beat me up, I would have spruced up the place. Like, what's that even? But he finally, after like an hour, left.
Wait, and did it become like calm? And you
an hour?
Yeah. He would not leave. And when he left, I'm like, "Hey, Huntsberger, that guy you let in came to beat me up." And he's like, "Ah, he just seemed like one of your friends. He just said it's Chris here." And I didn't. And then I kept seeing that girl after a while. Like she's like, "I'm so sorry that happened." He's jealous. We still live together because I have this cat, hairless cat. It's a goddamn another cat story.
You got cats all over your
life. But he became like well known for. Like water, like skydiving in the squirrel suit, like Red Bull diving off a cliff. So he's a lunatic, you know. This dude did? Yeah, yeah. He like was known. I didn't know how known until he died doing it.
He did?
Yeah, he was like in Chile or
got bit by a mountain lion.
No, he just fucking hit the side. Yeah, just a goat. Like, he clipped a goat. I'm posing for my picture. And then, but he died. So I guess.
But wait, how big? Because I mean, that thing looks. You got to be a little off your... I mean, how do you try that the first time?
I think he started with base jumping. I know that he was parachuting. She went with him once, which was a point of content. I was like, really? You're skydiving with your ex? She's like, do you want to? And I'm like, no, go with him. Whatever. So, but yeah, he jumped. I think he's base jumping maybe and died. And I looked in the and read the story. It's like Red Bull... Sponsored champion, like it was a big deal. People know who he is.
Damn.
He died. So the point is, don't fuck with me. You know,
totally, man.
Don't come to my house.
Back at you, dude.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. I'll find a way.
I never had anyone. I had a guy come to me in high school one time and try to fight me, but he never got past the door. And all his buddies are in the car, like, kick his fucking ass, sweetie. Like yelling to him, like. And I was a freshman, and they were sophomores, and they were all on the football team, and they were all jacked. And
scary.
I was just like. I just had to like talk my way out of it because I thought I was going to get beat down on my front steps.
Yeah, I've always been able to talk myself out of it. He knew I wasn't. And he was nice. I'd seen him after that because he went with another athlete to the Daily Habit. And I was like, hey, remember that time you came to my house? And he's like, oh, it's so embarrassing. Like,
oh,
he's a nice dude. Yeah. When I saw that he died, I was actually kind of sad.
Oh.
That's the unfunny version.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
I was hoping you say he died in one of your t-shirts or something like that. That'd
yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Make
that's
credit, man.
That's
the
second time one of my shirts got famous.
Tell us about this.
Oh yeah, that is that. Yeah.
What happened with her?
Oh, we both covered our tattoos and.
She covered hers?
Yeah. Hers has a rose. I got a Band-Aid. I think Band-Aid's a pretty good tattoo.
Oh, I thought you literally had a that is a great tattoo.
To cover like a mistake tattoo.
Yeah.
I was thinking of getting other bad ones like on my knees and elbows just so I could get the Band-Aid.
Just get the Band-Aid.
Yeah, but I like that where you can see faintly the old tattoo underneath it.
Yeah, and
so
like,
it has purpose.
He's all jacked up.
Yeah, so I just get more emoticon tattoos and then
That lasts like a year with her
off and on. I mean, up there was years later where we tried again, you know. Yeah,
gave it a second shot.
Yeah, huh? We're close. Yeah, it's like these things happen and people do terrible things, but you still know them. And I'm bad at I always stay in touch with exes. I don't know why I do that.
You don't burn a lot of bridges.
I try not to,
but you put your foot in your mouth a lot.
Yeah, every 5 minutes. But I want those bridges. I'd like to maintain relationships where I'll be consistently putting my foot in my mouth for as long as possible.
Yeah, but people appreciate it about you.
Yeah.
Well, you need the bridges to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same part of me that when I'm doing stand-up, I only focus on the one guy in the crowd who isn't enjoying himself. If there's a guy like a fucking has his arms crossed and he's sitting right up front, all my focus unhealthily goes towards that guy. At the expense of everyone else who's enjoying the jokes. Yeah. I'm like, let's talk to this guy for a minute. Let me ruin the show just because I can't have this guy not like me.
I think we all do that a percentage of the time because you just like, don't you get it, man? My goal is to make everyone like me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, nah, you got to just be like, 92% is a great number.
I also get off on ignoring that person because they know they're waiting for you to say something, and I get off on ignoring them and then making these people around them laugh even harder.
Yeah, that's
because it bothers them.
That's more healthy to do. Yeah.
I mean, I don't always do it.
No one notices him unless he starts heckling. That's a different story.
He's an idiot on Twitter that sends something to you, and if you don't reply or respond or engage, no one, except for the fucking 8 people that follow him, would even know it fucking happened.
Yeah.
Damn
these people.
So Jay had asked you about some stories before we started, and you said that you had a car wreck, but it's... At such a significant time, too. I want to hear about this.
It just makes sense, too, after what he just said.
Yeah.
I mean,
when something good happens, my whole life, I've braced myself then for something bad to happen. I've always felt like there has to be some balance. Are you guys like that? Like, or if something bad happens, you're like, well, it's today, something good's got to happen to back this up.
I used to be like that a lot. I used to always think, well, I used to always believe just good things would happen. And then it got to a point where like some good things, it would always lead to some good, to some bad. But it was normally, like you said, I was fucking it up because good things were happening. And I just didn't know how to accept good things because I was never really right. used to it.
Yeah, that's me.
Whereas like when you meet people that like grew up either rich or successful or with healthy parents and then just like have their life like 22 years old, they're like, yeah, I started a business at 18 and now I'm trying. Now I'm trying sailing. I think sailing, yeah. you know, like sold that business and you're just like, who the fuck are you?
And you have no superstitions? How are you just enjoying every moment?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
fucking lunatic?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I found like $50 on the ground, I would avoid spending it or stay indoors the next day just because I'm like, whatever I spend this on,
is gonna kill
a new
me.
Skate, or I'm going to break my ankle.
Yeah.
You know, like I always felt like that. I did Conan and it went great and I enjoyed it and I was happy and... he sent like one of my jokes had to be edited because I messed up and I'm like, I'm going to redo that hoping that, and they did cut that little part out. So he sent me the edit and I was listening to it on my phone as we were pulling out, stopped at a light. And then some dude going 55 just crushed.
Pulling off the
car as in, yeah, with my ex was driving this little tiny Honda Fit. And we both, yeah, we got, it was bad. I was like, in a lot of pain for like a month, just like stiff. I didn't know it was coming though. I was like all loose. I wonder if I'd heard the brakes and kind of braced myself because he didn't skid or anything. He was just going, looking at his phone or something.
Oh.
And I think if you tense up, I hear that's when you like break bones and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
That's just
as
loose.
They say,
like,
the drunk drivers usually. Yeah. get out of it because they're fully relaxed or asleep or something.
Yeah, I was relaxed and felt good. All the nervousness.
Just did Conan,
and,
man.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, all right. And then...
Almost didn't get to watch it.
I remember the thing, the glove box. When we got hit, the glove box flew open and I remember a pen stuff flying out of there. And then once we got hit, the pen stuck oddly in the vent for the air conditioning. Like like an arrow.
Damn.
And my face went like... right next to it. And that was the first thing. I was like, that pen almost poked out my eye. Are you all right? Like, we were trapped in there. The doors were.
And she was okay?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we just were both bruised up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's all my stories go super grim. It's just all, yeah, all he did is talk about different people that dies in his life. No, she's doing great.
And the driver was okay too?
She was a driver.
Yeah, he was.
The other car.
Yeah, no, that Christ. Car and then the one in front of us. The dude in front of us was like from some not another teen movie or something. He was like this actor. I was like, I finally pried the door open and pulled her out of the window. And then he's like, are you guys okay? And I'm like, you were in that. Weren't you in that?
You were in
that when you were a kid. You were that redhead. And the
guy's like, get me out of here.
Yeah. Before I help her, I'm like, oh, sorry, honey. Yeah. All three cars totaled. And I think that coming out of that, I have to get my hip replaced now. And
replaced?
I think it's because I was walking weird. I already had hip issues probably because he said it was all worn out.
From the cowboys?
I didn't start feeling it. Yeah, from all those cowboys. Just going bareback.
That's one where I was going.
No, from all the cowboys.
But you have to get
feeding
a hip
me the boots,
don't you?
Yeah, yeah, both of them. Yeah,
it's amazing.
And I don't think it's because of that car wreck, but I do think that's when I started feeling it.
That didn't help. Yeah,
yeah. If you start like, oh, my ribs hurt, my back hurts, and you start walking kind of crooked, I relearned how to comfortably walk. I started fucking up my.
And then you got to get a hip replacement.
I can't wait. Yeah. It's now to the point where I'm like, let's do it tomorrow. Because all he's doing is taking a fucking little motorcycle helmet, like a cap, like a metal cap onto the ball joint. Like you keep all your original product.
They just cap it?
Yeah, yeah. So it's not a full replacement.
Chris, listen, before we get to the surgery here, I looked over your blood work and you have cat AIDS.
I'm sorry, I went straight to your hips.
It might be that. You were talking about doing good and you know, waiting for whatever for the other foot to drop, maybe mm-hmm. it is, or yin and yang. And two times recently, very recently actually, and within probably only a week of each other or two. I treated myself last Sunday. I went and got a spa day. I went to Burke Williams. After the fucking spa day, I tried. Did I tell you about what happened to me?
No.
Oh, man. So on Mother's Day, I decided.
You treated yourself on
Mother's
Day?
They're doing their thing. You are such a... I'm going to fucking do a spa day.
Yeah.
This was the end of the day. And I go, and everybody, every woman I work with or talk to, or I was asking them about spas, they're like, don't go to Burke Williams. Go to the Korean day spas. They're so much cheaper and they're the same thing. And I'm like, okay. All women.
Right.
So I pull up to this one in Koreatown here, and it's got, you walk in, it's got a driving range, a little short driving range here on the left, a lot of like other shit going on. You can make a day of
it. Guys playing horseshoes.
was this specific one recommended, or did you
just
go?
Yes, this one was recommended, yeah. But again, recommended by women who don't go to this one.
Right.
So I go in, and it's these two Korean ladies, and I can't understand anything they're saying to me. And I'm like, listen, I've never been here before. Can somebody take me back there and show me? And all I could understand was they said, you'll figure it out. So I walk in, and I'm telling you, there might as well have been 500 dicks in the air. It was dicks everywhere. And I was like, oh, of course. This is a place for gay guys, mostly, to hang out, meet, not, and I'm not talking about fucking or anything, but to meet one another, really? And then go out after that.
That's not where I saw this going at all.
Me either. Wow. Me either. And I was like, what the fuck's going on?
It's supposed to be my Mother's Day!
So I go in, and they tell me, like, your masseuse is going to come and get you at, like, 10 of 1. You keep an eye on the clock. You're in the hot tub. Do whatever you want.
And here's your partner that you're assigned.
All day. He's got to be taped to your back. So... I'm in the hot tub, and I'm like, oh, it's almost 10 of 1. So I go, and this guy comes and gets me, and I'm like, all right, it's probably just a guy taking me to the other place where this lady's going to massage me. Nope, it's him. It's him. This dude fucking throws me down on a table and just starts splashing me with buckets. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? So
they get out the leaves and shit?
He was scrubbing me hard and then just bucketing the shit off of me onto the floor.
Yeah,
and he's standing in it. Walking in this.
I'm that's like, part of it, though, right? That's so far, that's massage-based treatment.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, it wasn't sanitary. Like, you're just taking everyone's dead skin cells and bucketing it off onto the floor. I didn't have my own room.
Yeah.
It was like eight other dudes to the left and right of me.
That's amazing.
With dudes massaging dudes. Then I go take a dinner, like, go shower. So you shower, you come back, and they do more, and I'm like... You know, oh, my God. And I'm like, oh, man. And the thought crosses my mind. I'm like, what if my fucking dick gets hard during this? And I'm face down in that little hole, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I look, and I see his toes and toenails. And it was the nastiest shit I've ever seen. I was like, my dick was like, you don't need to worry about it. Yeah. As soon as I saw it.
Did you get the whole massage?
Yeah, I wasn't going to leave in the middle of it. Yeah, I got the whole goddamn massage. He was taking my ball bag and moving it out of the way. Like, that was just, you know, what he did. I was like... This guy is either loving his fucking job or, like, what bad career moves did he make along the way to end up here? This guy's just like it's his business all everywhere and hard, scrubbing the shit out of him. And I was like, man. And I get done, and I'm like, this sucks. It was dirty. It just sucked. So I'm like, I'm going to Burke Williams. Well, I go to Burke Williams. Well, I get all the way there. I went from Koreatown to Santa Monica. And on Mother's Day, it's only open to women. I was like, come on,
man.
After all that. So just recently, from May until now, I finally can go. And I go. And I'm great day. I love, you know, it's just a great place there anyway. And as I'm leaving, I see a 20 on the ground and then some scattered singles.
Burke Williams?
It's on the sidewalk outside. And I'm like, this has to be it's going to be somebody filming this or whatever. But
right.
So I snagged the 20. I put it in my pocket. And then I see like two fives and a couple bills. I go to grab it. And this little girl and her sister come down and grab it. And they're like, oh, that's yours? And I was like, no, it's not. It's just on the ground. But fair is fair. Let's split this. They're like, you're so nice. So I was like, they didn't know I had the 20 already. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's so great.
So then I go to the park. On Saturday, I'm just walking, getting laps and stuff. I'm there for like 2 hours. I try to walk for 2 hours. And as I'm walking, I see this check on the ground. I'm like, oh, man, that looks like somebody's check, like a check.
Mm-hmm.
And I open it up, It's a check for $3,000.
Damn.
On the back.
Chris Fairbanks.
On the back, the dude has already signed it.
Oh, no.
So I can just sign my name and go fucking deposit if I want to. But I look and I'm like, oh, and it's Oak Street. And I'm like, oh, that's right here. Uh-huh. So I put it in my GPS, the little Apple, whatever, your fucking maps.
Sure.
I'm like, oh, man, this is a quarter of a mile. So I walk to his house. I beat on the door. Nobody answers. I walk for a little while.
Chris more. Here.
I walk back. I beat on the door. This fucking stoner kid opens it up. He's like, he just looks at me and goes, oh, did I drop something? I go, yeah, you dropped something this. And he's like, oh, my God, I've been looking for that. Thank you. I was like, you dropped it at the park over there, man. He's like, thank you so much. Shut the door. I walked away.
He didn't break you off a G?
Nothing.
Oh,
he was like
man.
Looking around. I was like waiting. I was like, something
that's like, I went to Rainbow Acres and was wearing gym shorts and I felt my wallet fall out and I'm like, oh, that's.
That's exactly what it looked like. Folded up and looked like he pulled something else out and that thing shot out.
God
and he didn't
damn.
Know.
Yeah. I went to the gym. I had a flight that day too. But I thought I'd swim real quick. And then I got to the gym and realized my wallet was gone and it was on the sidewalk. Like homeless people are yelling at parking meters right in front of Rainbow Acres here. And I went back there and it was gone. And I'm like, I can't get on my plane. The $100 or $200 in there is gone. Credit canceled all my cards. But then, yeah, some girl on Twitter, it's like, hey,
come on.
I found your wallet on Twitter. And she lived around the corner. I went and I was the same
like,
thing.
This is
I'm like,
bodybuilder.
But I was like, do you please take this cash?
Yeah.
She's like, I don't need it. And I'm like,
and you're like, will you at least follow me?
I was riding my bike one time in the valley on Chandler. It's one of my favorite streets in the valley. This is a while ago. And I see this credit card laying in the street, but it's at the base of this driveway. It's going up to this nice ass house. I'm like, all right. I walk up, knock on the door, and I'm like, I think you dropped this credit card right here. Like, oh my God. That broke me up. No. I took a couple shots at their basketball hoop on the way out of the driveway and left.
Kate's dad,
break off something.
You got to. Kate's dad, we were just back in New York, my family and my father-in-law. They leave the house and we get a phone call. Did you find Joe's wallet? And we're like, what? And she's like, Joe lost his wallet. We don't know where it is. Can you check the coolers? I'm like, check the coolers, because he brought like coolers, the beer, and he's like ice obsessed and iced down all the beers. So I checked the coolers. I'm like, yeah, there's no wallet in here. No one finds a wallet. He calls the stores he went to. He calls everyone, no wallet. We go, we finish, like we had rented a house, then we're going to spend one day with them before we leave. We go to their house. Joe found the wallet. It was in the garage. We're like, oh, that's great. I get to their house. Kate's in the city for work. I'm going to be with the kids at my in-laws. And I go, I'm going to put Reed down for a nap. I go, Gene, will you take the baby? I want to just go get an Italian sub. I want an Italian sub when I'm back east. And Joe's like, oh, well, let me take you to a place. I know a great place. And he's just telling me about how he found his wallet and how excited. And, you know, he's telling the stories. Then he starts telling me, he's like, you know, one time I lost my phone. He goes, out the convertible. I don't know how he lost his phone.
Flew out of the car?
Out of his car. He goes, I lost the car. And I lost my phone and I didn't know what to do, Jay. I was driving around and I got a call about 45 minutes later from this guy and he asked, and he called my Jean, his wife, you know, and called her and said, I got a phone. Uh-huh. And I went to him and I go, geez, where'd you find it? He goes, well, these two teenagers found it. And they asked me if it was mine. I said, no, but I said I would find the right people. And I said, and Joe said, oh, do you know where they went? And he goes, yeah, they went this way. He goes, oh, okay. So he drove around, sees these two kids. And he's like, hey, and like calls these two kids over. They're just like, who is this whack job? And he goes, did you guys turn in a cell phone? And they're like, yeah. And he broke them off a 50.
Oh, damn.
Gave him a 50. And
oh,
goes,
that's great.
And he goes, here you go. You guys split this. And this is a reminder that if you ever lose anything, that you always return it. Okay. And they're like, okay. And I thought he was crazy because he tells me, he's like, I keep a 50 in my wallet, Jay. You
know, just for that?
For emergencies.
Yeah.
For emergencies.
At that point, I would have maybe keep two bulks of 25 each.
Yeah.
I keep a 50 just so two kids can awkwardly split it at any point.
A 50. Yeah.
So they can have a fight about
I
it.
I was hiking Fryman Canyon, found a dude's driver's license. And I just started and I was like, I'm looking at it. And every time I pass somebody, I'm just seeing, I'm waiting to see it. And then I think I see him. I'm like, you Gary? He's like, I am. I go, that's your ID, man. He's like, oh, shit, I didn't even know I dropped it. Nothing.
You should have been like, you Gary? Like, yeah, like, you son of a bitch. I've been looking for you, man.
Fuck you, Gary. I always return shit unless it's cash. Unless it's cat. I mean,
sure.
I was in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Because anyone could go, yeah, oh, yeah, that is
course.
My. Yeah.
And we're at a hotel. It was family. And I went out to the car. We had checked in the room already. And I went back to the car to get something. It's nighttime. And there's people like maybe five or six parking spaces down. There's a wad of cash. I mean, a wad of cash just sitting on the ground in a clip. And I'm looking at them. And I'm like, there's no way it's there. So I take it. And they're down a ways. I take it. I look at it. And I'm like, God damn, it's like $350 here. Mm-hmm. So I go back to the room and Don and her mom are like, you need to turn that in and take it. I was like, it's cash.
Yeah.
I'm going to go down to that front desk kid and be like, I think somebody lost this. I'll make sure they get it. He's going to fucking take it. There's no tracing that.
Sure.
So cash, I always keep, unless I see it fall out of your fucking pocket or something.
Right.
I'm not a savage.
But. Sure, sure. No. Yeah, that's not even the issue. It's, you don't want someone, if someone's going to steal it, it's going to be me.
Yeah.
Or adopt it. Not even, it's not even stealing. One time in Austin with the girl that I moved there with, that girlfriend at that time, some guy called my phone and said, hey, I found a purse and your phone number was in it. And I'm like, oh, it's got to be my girlfriend's purse. So I went to some weird park. The guy wanted to meet in a park where I guess he found it, which was creepy, and it was nighttime.
At night he wanted to meet?
Yeah. Well, it was when he found it. It was
I see.
Yeah. Meet me tonight. Yeah.
It's
8 a.m. Yeah. It's my anniversary of the last time someone died at my hands. So I met this guy, and he gave me the purse, looked in, all of her stuff was in there, her wallet, and you know, ID and everything. But I was the only phone number in there, I guess. But then, right, I was like, thanks a lot, man. I'm glad you found it. But then he goes, all weirdly, he goes, it's a pretty girl. And I was like,
oh, man.
And I'm like, what? I hadn't heard from her. I couldn't get a hold of her. I'm just meeting this guy in a park who now has her stuff, who goes, pretty girl. And I haven't, as far as I know, she's dead.
Or in his trunk.
So then I turned on him.
Or
I'm
both.
Like, what do you mean, pretty girl? What the fuck does, like, I start getting in his face and shaking and thinking, like, this guy just murdered her. And
give you pepper spray?
Yeah, and he's weird and give me. No, I didn't have my pepper spray on me because I usually give it. That's the best gift to give any girl, your wife. Give her pepper spray. Just go down to the local. I know you're sponsored by that suit thing, but go to any Army, Navy, local Army, Navy. Get some pepper spray and give it to your lady friend so they can spray someone right in the face. Anyway, this guy. he's weird. He's like, you're a weirdo. Why are you freaking out on me? I'm like, what do you mean pretty? I saw her picture in there. She seems pretty. Yeah, but you said it all low and weird, like a weird murderer. And it just ended up off. So it was like I'm like, thanks a lot. Offered him money. He didn't accept. And then right in the end, I just accused him of being a rapist murderer.
And then you're like, all right, well, I'm leaving. You go to walk away and you're walking the same way.
I didn't. Yeah. I just didn't know.
Martin right next to him.
Yeah. Totally. All right. And then, right next to each other. That's always
and
the
he
best.
Lives next door to you. Like,
oh, God. Yeah. But turns out he just found a person. He was not a murderer.
And he was a nice guy.
Yeah, he was a nice guy.
He was just a little socially awkward.
Yep. And man, did I call him out on it. Learn how to talk to people, maybe, I guess, is the takeaway from this.
Well, we're there at that time, man. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing
your
stories.
Of course. Yeah, we went all over my topics.
We got all of them.
Sure.
I promise.
Perfect timing.
will you one more time promote your podcast, your social media, whatever you want?
Sure. My podcast is Do You Need a Ride? It's Karen Kilgariff and I in a studio now. It's safer. We used to drive around.
Yeah, tell them. I love this idea.
I know. I do, too. And I still wish we could. It was hard to orchestrate the picking up at the airport, find a comic every week that needed a ride. And it not
so every week you take
4 in the morning.
You take a comedian to and from?
Well, we used to.
And then
for a while we were just picking comics up in the car. But then we almost killed a couple people. It's hard to multitask.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to drive and even talk. The podcast is so much better now that we're doing it at All Things Comedy Studio. Like, it's just a better podcast. But now the name, fine. The name doesn't make as much sense. We're not going to say.
Things transform.
Yeah. Exactly. It's exactly. I can't think of a example other than that, but All Things Comedy Do You Need a Ride, Karen Kilgariff, and then my friend, Lando Hughes in Missoula, Montana. He's a great father, and I can pick him up too. He's like 300 pounds. I can put him on my shoulders.
Good work.
I can't pick up other 300.
That's why you have a bad hip.
Oh yeah, it's definitely done things to me. Every time I come home, it's on the heels of having him lifted him up at the Stockman's bar, and I've hurt my back. Anyway, he's great. Buy his calendar. Even though it's 2 years old.
What do you mean he has a calendar?
Yeah, just a little photo shoot.
Of him. He's got a 12-month. Yeah, yeah. You got a 13-month calendar? Yeah. You know, I like those 13-month calendars.
Yeah, all day. Yeah.
Legion well, 2017.
Gives you time to get that new one.
Yeah, but their 13-month calendars are unlucky. Just like that missing hotel floor.
Yeah.
Sorry,
right.
I keep jacking that.
That's all right.
great to have you, man. Great to see you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.